verse that's pretty stark. You know, there's not a lot of room for interpretation, little room for interpretation, you know, I suppose. Like, what works, you know, you could ask, you know, from which foundation, as some people have asked. But to me, the beginning is the beginning. And I know foundation could have a meaning of casting down, because all foundations are cast down. You know, let's throw down a foundation, I suppose. And that's literally what the word means, throw down. A down throwing. A casting down. But whether you think of it in terms of that or the other, it really doesn't matter, because it says what it says. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works, what works? The works of salvation. The works of those who would believe and enter into his rest. That's the context here. That's what he's talking about. We which believe had entered into the rest. If they shall enter into my rest. That's the if, you know. God says, if they will enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He knows who's going to enter in, who's not going to enter in. He knew they would rebel. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. From Genesis. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. That's again 95 again. But it was Psalm 95, right? Originally. Yeah. And then, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. It's again going back to 95. So, what he's saying is, you know, there was talk about the rest of them entering into the promised land. And for us, it's the entering into his kingdom in our hearts. And ultimately, you know, when his kingdom is established on earth in the resurrection. But we need to enter into his rest now in order to be obedient to the commandments of God. And I mean the law of Christ, because the law of Christ is a different, more strict set. Everything that was sin is still sin the old law. They're still the same kinds of sins, but there's a different sort of spin on it. Like, you know, the dietary restrictions. Now, some people still try to follow the dietary restrictions. I don't. But I tell you what, there is a dietary restriction in the New Testament. It is self-control. Self-control. Do not be a glutton. And I tell you, I've been overweight. And I thank God he delivered me from my uncontrolled eating. I was never hugely overweight, but quite overweight. You know, very much so. And the one thing about that sin is everyone gets to see it. It's the one you don't get to do in secret. Everyone looks at you and knows, oh, fatty. You know, it's not very pleasant to be in that spot. You know, it's not like some other things people do in secret and nobody knows. It's one of those that's manifest before everybody. And it's not like some where you have to actually come into contact. Like if someone's a hateful person, you have to actually have contact with them to realize this. If someone is overweight, you can see it from afar. Now if someone is, let's say, they've got a problem with lying, you may never detect them. Or you might detect them, but you have to actually have contact with them. You can see a fat person from 100 yards away. And people generally are going to think overeating. You know, I mean, a lot of times people don't go around judging people, right? I mean, I suppose there are diseases and such. But still, if you've been overweight, you know the feeling. You know that feeling. You know that people know, and you feel like they look at you. They feel sorry for you. Or maybe they despise you. There's all kinds of things that you probably get. Some people think, oh, it's disgusting. Some people, you know, but there's all kinds of disgusting things people do besides that. But like I said, that's one law. That it's still in Christ. We need to manage our food. I don't worry about clothing, feet, and chewing the cud anymore. I don't. Not that I eat much of that stuff anyways, but I tell you what. I watch what I eat. And same thing goes for clothing. Now, in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to wear garments of two different kinds of fabric. You know, you don't mix cotton and wool. Right? In the New Testament, there's also clothing restrictions. You can be, you know, dressed humbly. You know, what is it? Modest apparel. You know, and to me, what's the opposite of modest apparel? Proud apparel. And I let every person, it's a matter of conscience, but you need to judge that. You know, because you're going to stand before God and answer for your clothing. And so, and also the Sabbath. There is a Sabbath in Christ. It is greater than just the one day because now it's been extended to every day. I don't mind if people have a special day. I don't despise that. But I'm also not going to be judged in the fact that I do not. Because I try to elevate them all to the same status. That's my practice and my hope. I place not in a single day, but in honoring every day. So he limiteth a certain day. There was a certain day, the seventh day, that was the day of rest. That was the day. And in verse 8, he says, for if Jesus, that means Joshua, had given them rest when they entered the promised land, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. I mean, there was a Sabbath day, and then they talked about entering into the promised land, and then David spoke of another day. Harden not your hearts as in those days, the days of provocation. The days when Israel wandered in the wilderness, we are to not harden our hearts and provoke God as they did. Today, if you will hear his voice. Hear God's voice today. Don't wait till Saturday. Don't wait till Sunday. Hear it today. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has